We made it to the first major event of the NFL offseason. That just means we're one step closer to football, to real football. No disrespect to the USFL, but, you know, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. We're so close. So close.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, on this glorious day that is On and Off the Field with Durf and Dylan, Season 4, Episode 35, Overall Episode 155, the award-winning podcast On and Off the Field, brought to you by All Sports, All Plays Network, ASAP, and the PartyCast Network, where the party never ends. This episode is brought to you by Durf's birthday!
Yeah!
That's fun.
Yeah.
What'd you do? It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. Let's see. Yesterday, I went and played 9 holes of golf. Had the course basically to myself.
That's what happens when you golf in like the middle of a day on a Monday.
So it was quite nice. Course, it was. So I walked 9. So carts weren't available yet.
Still a little soggy here in New York.
A little soggy, yeah. A couple spots my feet got a little wet. I was like, oh. Then they dried out. You know, you look for the high points on the ground there.
You got to take the hills. You know,
take
the high road. Partner right. With the happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I didn't do too bad. Not bad for first time out there. So it was good. I had gotten some new clubs a couple months ago, and they are hitting wonderful. For the money I paid for them, so I'm happy with it.
I'm happy for you. Yeah, I mean, those are the clubs that you got at the cheapy sale there at the course, right? Like in the tent.
Well, yeah, the expo they did.
Oh, the expo. That's right. I forgot that was a thing.
I got in 2 clubs there. They were brand new. They were just like last year's model or year 2 before. So they mark them down quite a bit. So I got them at a pretty decent price. So
I just love how golf has evolved like that.
Right.
It's just like the club's a year or 2 old. So you can get it for like, what, $100, $200 off? $150 maybe? Right.
Yeah.
Like it's only a year or 2 old. I love, because usually before it was like, before golf really evolved to where it is today with new technology every year. I mean, you'd be riding the same clubs for a decade and they'd still hold their value. Now it's your club's a year old. Your new set of irons that would usually cost $1,000. Yeah, that's like $200 now, bud. Get with the times. First and foremost, before we go any further, we obviously have to sing Durf happy birthday. I'm pretty sure we actually sang it last year, but this year we're upgrading. We're stepping it up. We're stepping it up a notch here. So,
happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Well, it's time to celebrate your birthday. It happens every year. We'll eat a lot of broccoli and drink a lot of beer. You should be good and happy that there's something you can eat. A million people every day are starving in the street. Your daddy's in the gutter with the wretched and the poor. Your mama's in the kitchen with a can of Cycle 4. There's garbage in the water and there's poison in the sky. And I guess it won't be long before we're all gonna die.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Little friend, you think this party is the pits? Enjoy it while you can, because we'll soon be blown to bits. The monkeys in the Pentagon are gonna cook our goose. The fingers on the button, all they need is an excuse. It doesn't take a military genius to see. We'll all be crispy critters after World War III. There's nowhere you can run to, there's nowhere you can hide. Cause when they drop the big one, we all get fried.
Come on, boys and girls, sing along, okay?
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
Only Weird Al.
So happy birthday. just so we don't get sued or something weird, that's a deleted scene from How to Be an Italian Lover. It's a comedy that came out in 2017.
Interesting.
I don't know if I have to say that or not. Either way, I'll probably still get the episode muted for that. So, like, Facebook just took our stream down, probably. It's just like, hey, no, bad. You're like, oh, rest in peace to our Facebook page. So, as a birthday present from us to you, you get to teach people how to floss, which is obviously flossing. Follow, like, observe, subscribe, and share to anything on Off the Field related. Recommended by 10 out of 10 podcasters everywhere. This segment obviously brought to you by Stefon Diggs, the one and only, and whoever the hell this guy is from the USFL. Still haven't figured that out.
From the Stallions.
From the Stallions. He went full flosser mid-game. Still a legend. I absolutely love this guy.
47?
It looks like a 4 and a 7, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll actually try and look it up.
You want to look at it sometime.
We'll have to work on it. All right. So how can they floss?
They can They can floss by follow on TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, all by searching at OTF Podcast. You can like by hitting that thumbs up, leaving a heart reaction, or just telling us how you like the show by leaving a review on any of our pages or on the Mothership Apple Podcasts. You can observe by watching us live every week at this time from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can subscribe by clicking the subscribe buttons on Twitch and YouTube and making sure you click on that or making sure you ring that bell so you get notified when we go live. And last but not least, you can share by letting your friends and family know about us by sharing out the stream or any post that you like.
Reppin' Dave in the house over from Twitch and Mr. Josh with our hot take from last week coming in as well. Ayo, I made a TikTok clip out of Josh's comment last week. Colin Kaepernick is a tight end. And I actually just confirmed it. Yeah. It is actually DeMarcus Gates of the Birmingham Stallions, linebacker, number 47.
Nice.
Went viral for having a floss pick in his mouth. Good for him. Maybe we'll get him on the show and talk to him about dental hygiene.
There you go.
I'll work on that. That'll be my goal for the week. So, now that we got all the fun stuff out of the way. No, I'm just kidding. Time to talk about football.
Yay.
Oh, my goodness. I think this is probably the most important piece of football news that we've gotten all week. At least off the top of my head right now, I could not think of anything more important that happened over the past 7 days other than this. They confirmed Christmas football this year. Yeah. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was born this day to give us NFL football. Hallelujah! Spread the love, baby! I don't see Hanukkah giving us football.
No.
Nope. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know
what days Hanukkah lands on.
I mean, they're 8 days. It's 8 days long, so it's got to cover
a Sunday. Probably a Thursday. Oh, shit. So they probably gave us more football.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, they got Sunday, Monday with Thursday. Isn't it in December?
Yeah, but it is in December. But Christmas football are multiple games on Christmas. So do the multiple games on one day equal out the amount of games that you would get during Hanukkah? That I don't know.
If Hanukkah at some point, one of those days lands on a Sunday in December, every game, pretty much. Yep. In an 8 day span, they're getting every football game. So they do beat out Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's kind of depressing to think about, but we're still getting Christmas football. Exciting.
And New Year's Day football.
Do we really? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's on a Sunday too?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Is it always on a Sunday?
It's always a week. It's always the same day a week later than Christmas.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that's how that worked. I don't know how a lot of things on a calendar work, man. Like, I still don't know why Easter lands like in a month span. Like, sometimes it's like the end of April, and sometimes it's like March. Like, what are we doing with Easter?
Yeah, I don't know why that's like that.
I've always, and people are always, oh yeah, like you just like the thing you just said. It's like, oh, it's always a week and a day after. Like, I don't know that stuff, man. And people always like torch me for it. It's like, oh, Valentine's always lands on what a day. Like, bro, I barely know when my birthday is. Okay, what's up, Mr. Busby? Mr. Busby, one of the hosts of the Mostly Football podcast. And trust me, when I say Mostly Football, it's they should probably rename it to Barely Football, in my opinion. But I'm so looking forward to that. Hopefully we'll get some Bills on Christmas football. I've been seeing rumors that the Bills might get some Christmas football.
Bills could have Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day football.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
It would be amazing.
The Carolina Panthers, our first real news here, at least with, you know, actual football being played and whatnot. The Panthers came out and actually verbally said with their mouths and vocal cords that they are comfortable with picking a quarterback at number 6. Who said it? Because I didn't hear that. I've been, like, off of football this week, like, on the Twitterverse. It's been a weird week.
Right, yeah.
Was it the GM?
I think it was one of the GMs, yeah.
And this is, like, right after they just got done saying Sam Darnold is our starter.
That's because Ben McAdoo is a dumb moron and says something and then takes it back.
Hey, Ben McAdoo watches this show, okay? Calm down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think we'll be going over your mock draft 3.0 here to confirm which quarterback they'll be taking.
Yep.
So they'll probably be sitting with Pickett. Is that who we're talking about here at number 6?
I believe, yeah. Yep.
We're maybe looking at Pickett, Sam Darnold, and PJ Walker as your quarterback room.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very yikes.
Yeah.
I'm praying for Christian McCaffrey, man. This poor bastard. They're saying they want to trade, he's guessing. So maybe they're just saying they're comfortable picking a quarterback just to kind of maybe get a ruse out of people.
They could see if they want to get someone, they could get a trade involved to get someone to move up. If someone later in the draft is concerned that a quarterback's not going to be there for them that they're looking for, they might say, oh, well, the Panthers are going to take a quarterback. Let's trade with them and see if we can get the quarterback that they're possibly taking.
I mean, to be fair, the Falcons also did say they're looking to expand their quarterback room as well.
Yep.
And the Falcons are at 8 currently.
Yep.
Because I'm just thinking, like, who would want to trade with them? Who's looking for a quarterback? And honestly, there's a couple options, like Atlanta, maybe Washington at 11. No, they got Wentz. That's not even a factor, unless they want to get someone behind Wentz immediately. I guess I'd say Atlanta's your best bet. If it's not Atlanta, I don't think they're going to find anyone to trade with. But
right, because I don't see the Steelers moving that far up.
No, not from 20. Oh, my God. They have to give up everything. They had to give up every pick in the draft for that. Little Box is coming over from Twitch. What's up? Are you a first-time chatter from Twitch? Maybe. I'm not sure. It's not popping up for me. I've never seen your name before. How'd you find the show? Thank you for tuning in. They should take a tackle to protect Trevor, but they will probably go edge rusher. I mean, I don't think we've seen any mock drafts that have them taking an O-lineman.
I've seen a couple.
Have you?
But it's very, very far and few between.
I mean,
yeah.
They have so many holes just everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like if you're sitting at number one, you're forced to just take best available. I mean, you could take an offensive lineman, but if you're going to pass up a potential, like, future Hall of Fame kind of talent, I don't know what – I don't want to say generational because everyone always uses that word and it's not
– right.
No one should use that word pretty much ever. Like a really good edge rusher, you have a couple options on the defensive side. You know, right. I feel like you have to just go best player. And I just don't think there's a number one overall offensive lineman in this draft.
Not completely.
Daniel Jeremiah said Doug wants Icky, but Balak wants Walker.
Yep.
That's a lot of names. I don't know who any of these people are. I know who Daniel Jeremiah is, but who's Doug, Icky, Balak, and Walker? I don't know who these people are.
So Doug Peterson.
Okay, I know who Doug is then. Okay,
head coach. Okay. Balk, I believe, is probably the GM.
Okay.
So Doug wants offensive tackle. Balk wants an edge rusher.
So Doug does. So Doug is with Little Boxes.
Yeah.
He's with Icky and Neil, both play guard and tackle. You could slide them anywhere in the line, and there's plenty of edge in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
The Jags don't have two picks in the first round, so they'd have to wait on it a little bit.
Until the beginning of the second round, which you get a lot of first-round talent that drops.
Right. 33 is still a pretty decent spot.
Oh, yeah.
Just outside the first round. So that would be crazy if they did end up taking offensive line. Like, I don't think a lot of people would expect that. Apparently, Little Boxes would expect it. Well, I think there might be a difference between expecting what they do and, you know, what they actually do, like being surprised.
Right.
Like, I think they should do this, but we know damn well they're not going to. Big difference.
Yeah.
This one, I added a little bit to it.
Yeah.
Because I saw we threw in here what the Steelers said about their 2022 QB class. And whenever you talk about the Steelers and their QB room currently, like, it just seems like something you shouldn't be talking about, but I know you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I realize it's football, but, like, damn, it just feels so awkward to talk about. But they did say that they're going to be looking at the 2022 QB class as in depth as they did last year in their running back class, where they took, obviously, Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, foreshadowing to, obviously, they're looking at a quarterback this year.
Right.
Did they have to trade up to get Najee, or did they just take him in spot? I'm pretty sure they just took him in spot.
Najee fell at, what, 26 last year, 25, somewhere around there?
Because the Steelers still made the playoffs last year. That year.
Yeah. It might have been 22 then. Last year with Najee.
Because they got bounced in the first round, didn't they?
Yeah, they got bounced by the Browns in the first round last year.
So they would have been low 20s.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where they sit now. They sit at 20.
Yep.
Almost virtually the same spot as last year. And they could be just looking to get their young running back matched up with a young QB. I guess we'll see what Durf's mock draft says about this in a little bit. Oh, and Mr. Busby also said happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
I'm leaving this banner up the whole time.
Okay.
if you come in here and don't give Durf a happy birthday, I'm banning you from the stream. So get to it. But I saw this tweet, and this is the kind of shit I'm talking about. So Mike Tomlin, during a press conference, was asked if Dwayne Haskins' tragic passing changes their QB draft plans. You just don't word it like that. Why would you even bring that up? Just talk about the draft class. Why do you got to be like, well, since your quarterback died, you better find a new one. Like, Jesus, dude. Right. And Mike Tomlin's response was, in regards to Dwayne, our energies have been to paying proper respect to his family. We don't approach that from a business decision-making standpoint. That's the appropriate mindset to have. I can only imagine that this question was asked by Adam Schefter.
Very possible.
Like, just ask them how they're looking at the QB draft class this year. Why do you have to bring up Dwayne at all?
Right, you don't have. There's no need for it.
Like, that's just so inappropriate. Like, I feel like reporters these days just have zero social awareness or just any boundaries whatsoever. They're so I feel like they're just trying to make a headline. So, like, hey, you know, it'd be funny. You know, I know I'll get a tweet out of this as if I mention Dwayne in my question.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage person.
Absolutely garbage.
So we got Carolina and the Steelers leading off here in our offseason news, both looking at taking quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Little Boxes coming in. Lions should take Willis, but they will definitely take Hutchinson of Jaguars. Oh, yeah. like, how far is Hutchinson going to fall just because defensive end might not be that team's exact need?
Right.
You know, like, I know mm-hmm. everybody, he's the best talent in the draft as far as pretty much everyone is concerned. But it's just like, well, we need an mm-hmm. offensive lineman. So you're just going to pass on Hutchinson? Like, there's other offensive linemen in this draft you can go get. I guess you could say there's other defensive linemen and defensive ends you can get as well. But, like,
yeah.
There's a reason for 99% of this offseason Hutchinson has been the unanimous first overall draft pick. There's a reason for that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's not even like the Jaguars can, like, you know, if I was the Jaguars, they basically came out and said that, you know, we might not take Hutchinson, you know, all this rumor started. What they should have done was, like, we're definitely taking him. We know the Lions want him. Like, you should be edging them on to be like, if the Lions want Hutchinson, you know, you got to come and get him. You got to pay the price to come up the number one from two. Instead, they're just like, yeah, no, maybe he'll just drop the number two. It's like, what are you doing?
Right.
You guys know how football works? Come on. No bluff. Edge is the deepest position in the class. It is.
Yeah.
I do think there's a difference between Hutchinson and pretty much everyone else. I mean, you could have another Joey or Nick Bosa on your team. You mm-hmm. could. You know, it's that kind of talent. What else we got in here? We obviously have Debo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
He is still a 49er, and as far as John Lynch is concerned, he will stay that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he plays.
I don't know if he plays either, and I saw a little bit of this press conference from John Lynch, and I was like, ooh, John Lynch, this is his weak spot as a general manager. He is super uncomfortable right now with all these questions getting asked about this. And this is his weak spot from being a player and going into the front office. We'll see what it does to the 49ers, I think, down the road. But because there's got to be a reason why Jimmy G is not gone yet.
Well, and that was the other thing I was going to bring up is John Lynch pretty much in the same press conference was mm-hmm. asked about Jimmy G, and he said, yeah, we'll have a roster spot for him this year too. So you're not going to, I don't think at this point it's even paying Debo. I think Debo just wants to be gone. Right. But you're going to keep Jimmy on your team and soak up that kind of money when you could just overpay for Debo to possibly get him to stay?
Right.
Like, yeah, that's the conversation I'd be having with Debo. Be like, hey, mm-hmm. if we need that extra money, we could try trading Jimmy instead of you. And, you know, we can help you out here, man.
Yeah.
But instead, it's just like, here's a contract. I don't want that. Okay. Well. Oh, well. Like, what? Now what? They're just stuck staring at each other. Like, Debo saved your team, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also fair enough to sit down with Debo and have the conversation like, okay, you don't want to be used like you were last year. That's right. Fine. We'll put you back in mm-hmm. a more traditional role because I think that was his main concern.
Yeah, he wants to. I think Debo was asked, do you want to be handed the ball and run, or do you want to catch the ball and run? And he said, I absolutely want to catch the ball and run a lot more this upcoming season. So he wants that. He wants to be in that more traditional wide receiver role.
Yeah, it's not very often you have your star wide receiver just lining up like ISO. Like, it's mm-hmm. very odd that he... It's not even like he was running balls on trick plays. He was just literally lining up as a running back and running. And no wonder he's mad. Little boxes. What good does having a Bosa on the Jaguars if Trevor's still throwing balls in the dirt? To be fair, I think Trevor just throws the ball in the dirt regardless if he's has a good old line or not. That's just me.
That's because waiting for ETN to show up.
Right. He can be that next blocker, man. Travis Etienne, man, he's got this. Just have him block.
Trevor's so used to just dumping the ball off to him. That's why he keeps throwing it to the ground. So.
And then there's star young running back, Mr. Robinson. He barely got utilized properly last year. I mean, I feel like we just have to let last year just die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we realized last year wasn't great for the Jags. Like Robin, like it was just a mess, and it was all because of Urban Meyer. Like honestly, if Doug comes in this year, even with not a great offensive line, you know, they utilize Robinson, get ETN in there and actually be a running back. Like we could see him take a step. And then if it's, you know, next year is still a disaster, then they can look at offensive line or they could look at other things, bring in a free agent, do whatever. But I feel like they just need to fill the gaps they have with the best available player. And that player is, in my opinion, Hutchinson. Would you really be surprised if Minnesota took Pickett? Pickett's not going to last in Minnesota.
He shouldn't last that long.
Between the Panthers and the Falcons, there's no way. No shot. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if he did drop to Minnesota, then, I mean, I'm sure they'd have to think about it, but I don't think it's going to happen. A couple of last little snippets here. Earl Thomas said he would like to come back and play in the NFL. In response to this, Pete Carroll sent him a DM of this. That was a middle finger for those listening to the podcast. So, I mean, he's 33 years old in May. What do you want? You're 33, man. You've been removed from the league for 2 years.
Yep.
When you were in the league in those couple of years before you left, you were battling injury after injury.
Yep.
I don't know what you want, man. You can give it a try. If someone wants to give you a try, Godspeed. I just, the Hawks don't need you. I'm sure he doesn't want to come back here anyways.
Right.
I'm sure there's plenty of teams that'll give him a shot. Maybe the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't have any safeties left. They're all gone. So yeah. There you go. There's your home.
Yep.
And then Tom Brady. He restructured his contract. He created over $9 million of salary cap space for the Bucks. That basically is just going to ensure that they can sign all of their draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Like, not, they already, I think they had $4.5 million in cap space before Tom Brady restructured. So now they're sitting at 13 and a half roughly.
Right. Which they need about, I think they need about nine to sign. Oh, typically, it's about what you need to sell on your draft picks.
Yeah, depends on how many you got.
Right.
I mean, your first round draft pick, if you take one, usually soaks up. Oh my god! Any first round draft pick is going to soak up like that first. Yeah. It really varies in the first round, though. I mean, that first overall draft pick gets like what, $4 million?
Yeah.
But then, like, everyone else after that, it drops to, like, $2 million, $1 million, and then, like, $900,000. But, like, even the guy last, isn't he making, like, $400,000 just for getting picked in the first round?
I think at least that, yeah. I don't know if it drops that much, but, yeah, it's still a lot of money.
Maybe I'll look it up here in a second if you remind me. But okay. So he did that. He's still playing team ball, Tom Brady. Good for him. And then this last piece here. I'll let you throw this in here. You put this one in here. I'll let you have it.
All right. So I just thought it was an interesting little off-the-field segment here. Kind of just, you know, make everyone aware. I'm sure a lot of people have seen it on TV, on social media, and all that. But it is the Run Rich Run campaign that Rich Eisen does every year since 2015. So Rich Eisen began supporting St. Jude through the Run Rich Run event he would do at the Combine about 7 years ago. And he's actually raised over $4.2 million to benefit St. Jude Research Hospital. So his, and the big part here, why he worked with St. Jude, is that continued participation will ensure that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because all a family should worry about is helping their child live. So he does a really good promoting this a lot. I think the first year he ran the 40, I think he did it in 6.77 seconds. And that was like full suit, dress shoes, running, I think, at the RCA Dome at the time. And this year he's actually running it at the Rose Bowl, where USC plays, outside. because the SoFi Stadium, which is right across the street from NFL Network, they are actually still tearing up the turf from the Super Bowl to, I guess, auction it off or something.
What the heck's taking them so long?
They just were living in the moment for Super Bowl wins, I guess. So Rich Eisen, I guess last year did it with a bunch of celebrities, got a bunch of celebrity or NFL players involved. I think last year, the year before that, he did break the 6 seconds in the 40. He did move to, tennis shoes, but he still does that. Besides changing his shoes, he does everything else in a full suit and runs the 40, which I think is just impressive. And I wish I would have found this a little earlier in this month. We could have maybe done a video for it, because they're actually getting a lot of the fans involved, like showing you running the 40 and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I just thought it was something cool to bring up, and it's always something to get involved. And there's a tab on NFL.com for it. Or if you just search Run Rich Run, there's a whole tab with St. Jude's Hospital that kind of talks about it. And, you can watch the videos talking about it and how Rich Eisen's helped them quite a bit. And then also if you feel the need to donate, that's also there, also an option there too.
Yeah, his times have gotten dramatically better. They kind of stagnated recently. But, I mean, yeah, his first time he did it in 05 was 6.77. And then he jumped greatly up to 6.22. And then 6.43, 6.34, 6.34 back-to-back year, 6.21, 6.18, 6.03. So 2012 is kind of where we're stagnated. He got 6.03 back-to-back years. Then he broke the six-second barrier at 5.98. 6.1 and then 5.94 in 2016, which is his fastest ever. And then 2017 was 6.02 and then 5.97 and then 6 and then 5.98 and then 6.03 last year. So it's pretty fast. 6 seconds is pretty good, man. I don't know if I could. Yeah. I probably couldn't run that shit in 6 seconds.
No.
Right. How long is he going to do this for before he like tears his ACL or something?
So he actually did blow out his hamstring one year.
Ooh.
And
I don't remember that.
I can't remember what year it was now. I actually heard him. He was on a podcast where I was catching up on. And they were talking about it. But, yeah, it was last year or the year before, possibly, he blew out his hamstring.
It was the 09 run.
Was it the 09 run?
Yeah, the 09 run, and he talked about it in an interview in 2016.
Okay.
There we go. Confirmed by Google. All right, really quick, we got USFL news, and then we got the important stuff to talk about. We'll probably talk about more about USFL stuff in the future weeks, but currently we have more important pressing matters to get to. First and foremost, we have the New Jersey Generals beating the Michigan Panthers 10-6. Once again, the Michigan Panthers thought to have the two best quarterbacks potentially in the entire USFL on the same roster. Turns out they suck. So now the Panthers are 0-2, only scoring 6 points this week. Woo! Rough stuff. then you had your star of the weekend. And Brian Scott, or I think it's Brian Scott, quarterback for the Philadelphia Stars, absolutely lit up the Maulers. And they ended up winning 30-23. The Maulers at least scored points this week. They scored a touchdown, so that's good, but they're still 0-2. Rest in peace. The Birmingham Stallions. The Stallions are looking real good now that they're putting it was originally their backup quarterback. And then he took over. They kind of were going back and forth last week. What's his name? I forgot his name. But, yeah, he performed really well for the Stallions this week. 33-28, they beat the Gamblers. So I believe the Stallions are 2-0 now, and the Gamblers fall to 1-1.
Yep.
Did you watch your Gamblers at all?
Did not.
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't. I kind of.
I forgot what time they were on. I was busy,
But ESPN doesn't even support USFL, man. Like, what are they doing? Put it on your app. What are you doing? Like, just, right. And you don't have to broadcast the games. Just make a little section for it. That's all I want. And then in the absolute just disrespectfulness, the New Orleans Breakers defeated the Tampa Bay Bandits 34-3. Oh, my boy Jordan Tiamu did not show up.
No.
Like the Maulers might be my team, but I still have a soft spot for Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he did not show up. So the Bandits fall to 1-1, and the Breakers are the other 2-0 team. So you got the Breakers and the Stallions 2-0, and the Gamblers and the Bandits at 1-1. That's your South Division. And then the North, the Generals and Stars get their first wins for the division. So yep, they're 1-1 at the top. And the Panthers and Maulers are both 0-2 at the bottom of the North Division. So there's your current USFL standings. I'm just going to go ahead and say, just throw the whole South Division in the playoffs and call it a day. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know. The Stars could make a run.
Yeah, the Stars didn't look bad last week either. They at least competed last week.
Yeah.
And they still put up a lot of points. And then this week they actually got the win. So I think the defense is their main issue right now. Obviously, right, if you give up 23 to the Maulers, you put up three last week. Yeah. So they might have an issue there. The offense for sure is buzzing, for sure. All right, so we got the most important section. The NFL draft is in 2 days, Durf.
Two days.
That means you have to nail this right here, right now.
All right, 32. This is 32.
The Durf's super duper accurate mock draft 3.0. We have one goal here with this mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be more accurate than Mel Kiper.
I hope so.
You think you can? He got like two right last year. So
I want to say I had like five or six last year.
That sounds about right. Yeah. So I think you can do this.
I think I can do it.
And this is without trades as well, obviously.
Without trades, yep.
So I mean, I have one thing that I'll bring up later once we get to it, but
okay.
For now, let's hear it. Who do you have first overall? Jacksonville Jaguars.
I have defensive end Trayvon Walker out of Georgia. Aiden Hutchinson is the logical choice, but Jacksonville is not going to make the logical choice when it comes to pass rushers, and they're going to go
logical people.
They're not going to take what's been proven by a player. They're going to take the potential for a player. So that's why they're taking Trayvon Walker.
I don't know, man. I really just, you know, if if they do, then it's like, yeah, Jaguars are jaguaring. Like,
yeah. And I think as soon as that happens, Detroit explodes. Because they just landed Aiden Hutchinson.
And I think the Lions deserve it, too.
I think they do, too. I think he would be a good fit for Dan Campbell.
Like, do you know how many kneecaps Aiden Hutchinson would bite off in Detroit? And, like, yeah, he's from Michigan, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think the Lions maybe put the word in? Like, hey, Jaguars, we'll destroy you. Like, we have your emails. Make sure you don't take Aiden Hutchinson. We'll leak some of your emails from Urban Meyer.
There you go.
they got something on Jacksonville, right, if this is how it goes down.
But I mean, yeah. So the potential is there for Trayvon Walker. It is looking more like Jacksonville is going to be more interested in a potential to be able to groom a player than what a player has already proven in the college level. I see their point, because you could be concerned about, you know, a player capping out in performance in the college level and not really showing, you know, more once that next level.
To be fair, I mean, but they kind of already done that with Trevor Lawrence.
So, right.
I mean, maybe they learned their lesson.
Possibly. So, so that's why I have Walker at number one overall.
Godspeed.
So speaking of number one overall, do you think that they should change the rules so that the number one overall pick only has 2 minutes to make their pick?
I think it should be like 1 minute.
Well, I was gonna say 1 minute, but I figured from 15 to 2 minutes should be plenty to like make the phone call to the player, call it into the NFL, because if the first overall team doesn't know who they're picking by draft day, there's a problem.
I mean, this goes for all of them. I mean, this goes for the whole round. First round, first all the way through seventh. Well, technically for the seventh round, it takes them like 5 seconds. But, I mean, they're like three picks deep, and they're still announcing like, you know, they're announcing a pick, but the next three teams are already ready to go.
Right.
Yeah, the first round is just, they've made it almost unwatchable with it being a 15-minute clock.
I do see the point after like pick after the first pick. I do see the need for it sometimes because you could potentially have the amount of trade talks that are people are on the phone. You know, if a player like goes for like down in the round, like you could get issues where like you don't have enough time to call a team to get trade talks going. You know, figuring things out. You know, figuring out the details of the trade talks, which then makes it that much faster for the other team. If they do trade, move up or down, then they have to figure out who they're picking based on what's left on the board and then be able to get in contact with that player right away and get it into the NFL. So I do see the need for the time after the first overall pick, but the first overall pick should be just like that.
All right, you're getting calls probably all off season.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's nothing that changes on draft day where you need to sit by the phone for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it should be automatic. Like, I feel like that's how they should start the draft.
Yeah.
Like, starting the draft shouldn't be like, okay, Jacksonville's on the clock now. Now we wait. The start of the draft should be the first pick overall is blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That should be how the draft starts.
Yeah.
You have the whole offseason to fight over the first overall pick.
Right. Yeah, like Roger Goodell should walk up there and be like, oh, all right, welcome to the NFL draft. And with the first overall pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars select, and then move on.
Honestly, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone's hyped up for the draft. Like, oh, we're finally here. Hell yeah, here we go. We're booing Roger Goodell. Yeah, we're having a great time. And it then gets it's rid like, of the
booing.
And then, like, yeah, and then now we got to sit here and wait for 15 minutes. Like, that's such a buzzkill.
Mm-hmm.
That would be so cool if it's like everyone's hyped up, we're booing Roger Goodell, like yeah let's do it, and then they're like, all right, are you ready for the first pick? Or like, yeah, and they're like, all right, the Jacksonville Jaguars take Trayvon Walker. Everyone goes, oh shit. But that's how you start a draft, right? Man, that would be fun.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
I think we ride with this.
I like it.
Let's start a petition. Do you guys want to do this? Is anyone in chat? I think this is a good idea. I'm gonna pull this out to people. I'm kind of curious what the people think.
Right.
I like this. All right. Let's keep going. What else we got?
All right. Detroit at 2. We already kind of talked about it a little bit. Aiden Hutchinson to Detroit. I think fits perfectly for them. Lock it down. Ready to roll. Let Dan Campbell build this team like he wants to with all these kneecap biters. So yeah.
Do they have kneecap biter t-shirts by chance?
They should.
If they don't, I'd be shocked.
Someone should make one for Dan Campbell, send it to him, and see if we can distribute it.
Yeah. If it's not already a thing, I'll see if we can get someone on that.
So, number 3 for Houston. They got to find somebody at the 3rd overall. They got to go off with the lineman with Evan Neal out of Alabama. They got to protect Davis Mills or whoever they draft later. So that's
open up holes for their 16 running backs.
Yeah. So that's why I got them go take an Evan Neal for sure. 4 for the Jets. We're going to go with Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon. That's a raw talent player that I think is Robert Saleh's Robert Saleh's scheme works well for that kind of raw talent players. He's one to make the scheme simpler for them to understand, and then allow them to just kind of play their game and do what they do best. So I think that's a good fit. That's a good growing fit for the Jets as second year head coach for Robert Saleh.
So I saw something that I had to comment on. That's the only reason I remember seeing this. I don't remember who posted it. It was probably Chris Sims. I don't even know what is Chris Sims even doing these days. I think I bullied him into retirement. I haven't heard anything from that guy in forever. Right. But I saw a post that included trades on someone's mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
It was the only reason I know it included trades is because it had Seattle picking at 13.
Oh.
Do you know who they picked at 13 on this guy's mock draft?
The guy I just mentioned?
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Really?
Does he really drop to 13? Is that a thing?
I've seen him drop to 11, 12 maybe, but I haven't seen him drop to 13. I think he's a top five pick.
Like that's deep.
Right.
13? I always thought of this guy as like top 10 for sure. Mm-hmm. Like if he dropped out of top 10, it would be bananas.
Right.
But that's just what I've been seeing. So I mean I thought that was like one of the weirdest things.
That is weird. Yeah, I saw a lot of weird mock drafts today when I was looking to finalize my 3.0, and it was like people are just literally throwing stuff at dartboard, hoping and seeing what it looks like, and doesn't look good.
But those are the ones where like they're the most accurate though, probably.
Right. Yeah,
because you know we use the logical route, and it's right. That's never what happens. Yeah.
So, all right. So that's at four. So five is the Giants' first pick in the first round here. They're going to go offensive tackle Ikem Ekwonu out of NC State. He's behind Evan Neal. He's the next best offensive lineman there in the draft. So that's going to be some good blocking there for Daniel Jones. And then number six, we have Carolina. This is our first quarterback off the board, Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh. So unless someone moves up and swaps out with Carolina, I really do think that Kenny Pickett's going to fall at number six there. What happens after that could be a quarterback explosion, people moving up to try to snag their quarterbacks, but I'm hoping we don't see that.
I don't know why someone would need to move up to get like a Malik Willis.
I don't know why either.
That would be shocking.
I think there's other positions that people could take at their respective spots.
Yeah.
And still be okay to get the person they want later in the round. So Kenny Pickett off the board at six. Second pick for the Giants at seven. They're going with Sauce Gardner. Mostly like he's the him and then you know the guy I have at nine here. Are literally the top two corners in this draft. Sauce really did show quite a bit of athleticism and talent at playing in Cincinnati, and I think that's one of the reasons why it really helped them, you know, make the playoffs like they did this year. You know, that defense definitely helped out. So Brian Daboll gets a tackle he wants to run the ball with Saquon Barkley, and then they get that corner essentially replace Bradbury in the secondary for the Giants because I think he's on his last year of the contract, so they're trying to move him.
Over, under on 3 months before we're at whatever city and team Sauce Gardner goes to that he has a commercial deal with like some kind of barbecue sauce or something.
I would say under 3 months.
Under 3 months. So, like, yep. Even before he gets to training camp, he's already doing commercials for, like, the local barbecue sauce place or, like, hot sauce joint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Under 3 months. I like it. You're probably not right. He's going to be strolling into training camp with, like, Frank's Red Hot gear. That's what he's going to be doing. My mother said happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. All right.
Hi, so, Mom. That might be my dad too, because they like share accounts, so that could potentially be both of them. Well, my dad doesn't know how to use emojis. Never mind, that's my mom. All right. Go ahead. Who's
next? So eight with Atlanta. They're gonna go wide receiver here because they got to replace some talent. They're gonna take the first receiver off the board with Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. I think it's a good pick. Oh, Garrett Wilson's pretty. He's a pretty versatile receiver. Ohio State knows how to produce really good receivers at the college level, so it's good. I think it's a good pick for them. Marcus Mariota's got to throw to someone else besides Kyle Pitts, so and Cordarrelle Patterson. So,
and Okajawu.
Oh yeah,
Okajabawi. Yeah. Whatever his name is. but yes, I see your point.
So number nine was Seattle. I am taking the second / 1B corner in the draft here with Derek Stingley out of LSU. I didn't realize he had an injury this past year, where he has some very limited tape.
He had an injury?
Yeah.
Oh, he's 100% getting drafted by Seattle then. Seattle loves injured players. Oh my God, they always draft people with injuries. I'm sold on this pick now. Oh, dude. This is like the most 100% pick in the draft now.
Yeah.
Without a doubt in my mind. Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm on this. I'm putting money on it now. I'm dropping like $100 on this pick.
Oh, all right. So Seattle's going corner. I think that's probably the most Seattle pick I think you could have, besides some like defensive tackle kind of deal going on there.
Just some random second round talent.
Yeah.
Who do you got in the second round there for corners? That's who they're looking at.
Right.
All right. Then my dad also, he even used an emoji too. There you go.
Oh, nice.
It's an upside down smiley face. I don't know.
All right. So at 10 of the Jets, second pick at number 10. They're going to go receiver with Drake London out of USC. So they're going to get their edge rusher, and then they're going to get their talent on the outside to help develop Zach Wilson. So I think that's another solid pick for them. You know, Drake London is a pretty good receiver. Him and Garrett Wilson are kind of like the top two we're looking at this year. You could throw Chris Olave and Jameson Williams there, but I think they're just a touch below what those two are. But you hope that Drake London is not going to the Jets to just destroy his career.
Hope not. I mean,
you know, but there's talent there, and I think it's a good pick for them to try to make the attempt to rebuild their team.
They sure can try. The Jets are the Jets, though.
So. All right, 11 with Washington. The Commanders are going to take the number one safety in the draft, Kyle Hamilton, out of Notre Dame. The dude is an absolute ball hawk. But because he's a safety, it makes it tough to gauge where he falls. But I am falling at 11 with the Commanders for sure.
Like, who's the last safety that's gone top 11? Whew.
I can't think of a safety. I can only think of corners.
Like, I think Earl Thomas was a top 10 pick from Seattle. I think.
Yeah.
I'd have to look it up, but
right.
Safeties do not go early in drafts.
No, they're very much like a third, fourth round typically.
Yeah, unless you're the Patriots.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And then you go and take Division II safeties. That's they're just built different.
All right. So Minnesota at number 12, they're going to take defensive end Jermaine Johnson out of Florida State. Jermaine Johnson and Kayvon Thibodeau, I would say, are probably close in talent. So this was really a good spot for Jermaine Johnson to fall, if he's not snagged before then, but I think he will fall to 12 to Minnesota. 13, Houston. They're going to take another tackle. They're going to take Charles Cross out of Mississippi State. Him and Evan Neal and Icky are kind of all right at the top there for top talent there out of tackles. So I think it's another good tackle to pick up to protect Davis Mills, and like you said, open those holes for the 50 running backs they got on their roster. So
Sean Taylor and Eric Berry both drafted at number 5 overall. They're tied for the highest safeties drafted.
So Eric Berry would be the last one then.
Yeah. So there you go. Just thought I'd let you know, because I ask these questions and I have to get them answered, or else I'll just be thinking about that for the rest of the time. So, yeah.
There you go. All right, 14 with Baltimore. The Ravens are taking Jordan Davis, the number one defensive tackle out of Georgia. Great pickup. A lot of hype with Jordan Davis this year for during college. You know, he was a part of that great defensive great defense out of Georgia this year. Clearly paid off to get them where they were and at the end of the year. But this is a good pickup for Baltimore, who I think needs a little bit more help in the middle of the defensive line with the amount of talent they have on the edge right now. So I like this pick there. All right, Philadelphia at 15. They are taking another wide receiver in the first round with Jameson Williams out of Alabama. So I think it's a good pickup. We'll see how Jameson heals from his injury. But I think it's another good receiver pick for them. And seeing as how they have two picks, you know, relatively close to each other, I think it could go either way who they pick first. But I like the receiver going first.
I say his career's over before it started since the Eagles drafting him in the first round, but that's just me.
Right.
I actually just found that Eric Turner was drafted number 2 overall in 1991 by Cleveland.
Wow.
Eric Turner.
Huh.
So I guess they left that out of their research.
But, selective research, that's all it is.
Selective. It must have been a Browns fan. Or it must have been like a Ravens fan or something writing that previous right. article. They just forgot about Eric Turner.
all right, 16, the New Orleans first pick. They are going to take tackle Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa. We're going to see a little run here, I think, on some linemen. But it's a good pickup there, seeing how they lost Teron Armstead. And they're going to need some protection for Jameis down there to not get hurt and leave the door open for Andy Dalton to step on the field. So
I feel like that was underrated news. Andy Dalton arriving in New Orleans. I just want to see Andy Dalton in gold. Like that red hair and a gold white uniform. Oh my God. So good. I'm wearing gray. There's like a weird glow that makes it look green, but this is gray.
Oh yeah, this definitely looks green.
Yeah, this is like, gray.
It's like all forest green.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's because I got the blue screen behind me, so it's throwing things off a bit. Yeah, it's gray. Eagles green. Oh my God.
So the Chargers at 17. We're going to see another offensive lineman here, but it's going to be guard Kenyon Green out of Texas A&M. And I think this is a good spot for him. I've seen him as low as like 31 getting taken. So I like the Chargers going guard this year again. So I think it's a good spot for him. Help build that line for Austin Eckler and Justin Herbert to not get blown to pieces by defensive ends and defensive tackles in the AFC West.
I really don't know what else they need. I mean, could they take another running back maybe, but you don't want to take a running back in the first round. So that's a good spot.
Right.
I don't think that's 100% needed.
That's not necessarily, not necessarily a first round pick. I could see a tight end, you know, fifth or sixth round, maybe fourth round, maybe.
Then linebacker, they just got Khalil Mack. Why do they need another linebacker for? You don't need a first round linebacker if you have Mack coming in.
Well, yeah, but is Mack's coming in as a defensive end though, and not as a linebacker?
Outside I know it's linebacker,
not very much, not very different, but
he can drop back into coverage if need be. Like he knows how to do that,
right? So, yeah, I like the guard take here.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great pick.
So Philadelphia's second pick here at 18, they're going to take N'Kobe Dean, linebacker out of Georgia. So they get their offensive weapon, and then they get their defensive quarterback, as you can call them. So being from that Georgia defense, he should be a plug in and play. No problem.
I mean, after I've thought about it here for a second, like,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked if I want to make one change to this mock draft that, like, I honestly think would be a good change for them,
mm-hmm.
is they don't go wide receiver at all in the first round.
Yeah.
And they maybe go with, like, they might take, just sticking with people on this list,
mm-hmm.
like they take George Karlaftis.
Karlaftis?
Yeah. Like, they might take him at 18 and, like, bump up Dean to 15 and, you know.
That's possible.
Like, I feel like they just take, like, they have so many problems on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I realize that the offense has its holes as well, and that's why everyone, like, I'm sure there's a lot of people thinking that they take a wide receiver with one of these picks. Like, I get it. They have so many,
right.
Like, their wide receivers suck.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, you know, the Devontae Smith's decent.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean.
You're saying Jalen Reagor is terrible?
I mean, did you see that game last year? I mean, wasn't it the last game of the season last year? And he dropped two game-winning passes, back-to-back plays.
Right.
Hit him right in the hands. I mean, like, he speaks for himself. So I just feel like, they go two defensive players. As long as one's available, I guess. I guess it depends on who's left. So, I mean, right. If there's, like, if they really don't think George is worth a 15 or an 18, or maybe they trade back on one of them and draft him later.
Could, like, yeah.
I just don't know if they go wide receiver. That's just me. I don't know. It feels weird to me. I don't know. If I had one take, I have one opinion on this entire mock draft. I think that's my one opinion.
Okay. That's fine with me. I mean, it's completely logical that could happen. Philadelphia has gotten receivers in the first round the last couple years. So.
They just don't pan out. So, they're just going to keep trying and keep missing?
They're just going to keep trying for those Alabama receivers and see if it works out eventually.
I don't know what happened in the past 7 days, but we just shaved 300 years off the next Jet Super Bowl. I feel like this is a mistype. I feel
with
like...
with my mock draft, they're shaving off 300 years.
Yeah, I don't know, impressive. Man. I mean, does... So Kayvon Thibodeau and Drake London just pop off and... They just become this new dynasty.
And play for 21 years.
Yeah.
Or 22 it's years.
Incredible. Yeah, my Eagles fan parents agree that defensive line needs to be beefed up for the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Cowboys will get Brandon Smith from Penn State. That's his prediction. You mean like in the first round? I don't even see his name. I guess we'll get there when we get there, but who's Brandon Smith? Okay. All right. Let's keep going. What do we got?
All right. So we just went through at 18 with Philadelphia's pick. Now we're going to go to 19 with New Orleans, and they are going to take Chris Olave to add to that wide receiver room. Hopefully this is the kick in the pants that Mike Thomas needs to either show up or get out of there. But I think it's a good. I think it's a good addition for Jameis to. You know, give him that deep threat, give him that over the middle threat. He's another versatile receiver at Ohio State, so I think it's a good option there to give them some weapons, and hopefully get that offense rolling, take some pressure off of Alvin Kamara.
Would you say that Chris Olave will have to fight Kamara for those touches on offense? Get it?
No.
You get it because Kamara got arrested for fighting people.
Oh,
hold on. There it is. TJ just says overall. So apparently in the seventh round, he knows who the Cowboys are taking. I don't know who Brandon Smith.
Overall,
is. Just overall, just getting Brandon Smith.
We can talk about Brandon Smith when I get to the Dallas pick. But
okay,
because I do have some thoughts on that. So.
Okay, so I guess you know who Brandon Smith is. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
So 20, Pittsburgh. Steelers are going quarterback. Like kind of talked about before, if they're investigating the quarterback draft class as they did the running back class last year, they're seriously considering a quarterback here. And with Kenny Pickett already off the board, I don't think he was a completely viable option for them. I think Mike Tomlin wants to go with a little bit more of a versatile quarterback, you know, a little bit more mobile, have a little bigger arm. And so that's why they're going to go with Malik Willis at Liberty.
Mike Tomlin is sick of looking at trees standing in the pocket.
Yep.
This dude wants someone that's mobile. That's all. He just wants to watch his quarterback run a little bit. That's all he wants in life.
Yeah. instead of taking a 10-yard sack, well, you want someone who can get him 10 yards past the first down mark.
Well, I was going to say 20-yard sack while he's scrambling in the backfield and then gets – that was Russell Wilson's specialty. You know, he scrambles around, and then instead of taking a 5-yard sack, it turns into 20.
Yeah. Well, now it's Patrick Mahomes. Now it's a Mahomes specialty.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's what, 33-yard sack he took from the Dolphins or something like that?
Yeah, insane. One of the greatest sacks in NFL history.
All right, New England here at 21. I almost put someone else here, but I'm feeling pretty confident they're going to go with Devin Lloyd out of Utah. He screams Patriot to me because of his leadership and the adversity he kind of went through in college with some of the Utah players that – just suddenly passed away due to gun violence, and he really stepped up and went back for his senior year to the college, and really stepped up as a leader. And that to me just tells me if Bill Belichick is looking for this guy day in and day out to make sure he's a Patriot at 21.
I love it.
Plus, he's a good linebacker. So,
plus he's from Utah. No one knows who comes from Utah. So, I mean, that's.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the most important part.
I mean, Steve Smith Sr. did come from Utah.
Really?
Yeah, he's a Utah.
I did not know that.
Zach Moss from the Bills currently is from Utah.
Okay, well.
I'm just saying, some players that I know from Utah. I'm just naming players.
Like, we go, Steve Smith from Utah? Zach Moss? Like, okay, all right. That's not quite the follow-up I was looking for to Steve Smith.
Oh, but yeah, I think he'll fall to New England, I'm pretty sure. All right, 22, Green Bay with their first pick. They're going wide receiver, Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. No, I see you shaking your head there. It's okay.
No, they got Sammy Watkins. They don't need Treylon Burks.
Yes, they do.
Okay, maybe a little bit.
So here's the thing. Out of the last 15 years, they've taken mostly receivers in the second round, and those receivers have, you know, developed and panned out for the Aaron Rodgers. But that takes time. I heard this this morning. I thought it was a really great point. Aaron Rodgers does not have time anymore. The Packers need to take a first round receiver because they need that talent now. They can't afford to take a receiver later. They can take one later if they want to pair up with Jordan Love eventually and be Jordan Love's best friend. But they need someone now to help them get over the hump and get to the Super Bowl, because if the Packers don't get to a Super Bowl this year, it's not looking good for Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think they sell the farm? Like, do you think they sell, like, next year's first round and potentially more to move up and get a better wide receiver? Like, do you think they could bump all the way up to, like, 15 or something to get Philly's pick?
I don't think they need to bump up to get a better receiver. I think Treylon Burks is still a good quality receiver.
You just like Burks? Okay.
I think Burks would fit for them. He's got really good hands, can get open. So I think that would be a better fit for Aaron Rodgers. They got to take a receiver, whether it's 22 or 28. I'm taking it 22 because I think they've seen all the receivers come off the board. And if they want to get the one they want, I think, which means they want to get Burks, then they need to take him at 22.
And just real quick, TJ, if you buy it for me, I'll wear it. I'll wear it on the show, but you have to send it to me. That's the rule. I will never put money. I don't think I'll ever buy a real NFL jersey in my life.
Yeah.
They're like $120.
They are expensive.
Like, no chance. And he's digging the look, though. True NFL pro. And this is my combine outfit. You know, you got all the coaches show up in their sweater vests and stuff, or their jackets or whatever. Yeah, this is my combine look. This is my draft analysis look. Real pro.
All right, 23, Arizona. They're going to take Edge George Karlaftis out of Purdue. They got a excuse me, they got to replace losing Chandler Jones this year. And I think he's a good player to replace with. So I like that pick a lot.
JJ Watt's still there, right?
I believe so.
That's a good development tool. Just having JJ there to kind of, you know, even if JJ just stays for one more year, just give him that one chance to that year to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a great benefit to George.
To George.
Good old George.
All right. Dallas at 24. They are taking interior offensive lineman Zion Johnson out of Boston College because I think as good as the other linemen are in this draft, I think he is probably the most versatile lineman that can play all the positions and is smart about it. And I think that's what Dallas is going to need because they're going to need him to play multiple positions at once to try and revive Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott's careers. He's a good pick for them. I think offensive lineman I think it's a good choice for the Cowboys because the Cowboys had a great offensive line for so many years, and now they've gotten to the point where it just fell apart. So they got to rebuild it. So I think at 24,
they've literally lost like every piece on that elite offensive line in the last 2 years. It like just disappeared in 2 years.
Right. So depending on what other draft prospects they get later in the draft, I think could help them determine where they want to put Zion, you know, in training camp or, you know, once they get their depth chart going to see where they want him to line up on the line. So I think it's a good spot. So the Brandon Smith out of Penn State linebacker, I could see him going, I would say third round to the Cowboys. He had a pretty good career at Penn State at linebacker, you know, hence why Penn State's still linebacker university.
Is that a thing?
Yes, it is a thing. Okay. Like DBU is LSU, LBU is Penn State.
Okay, I didn't know that was a thing, but okay, I believe you.
It's not. I think Brandon Smith is helping bring that back the way he played last year. But there was a long stretch where, like, after the whole Paterno thing, and it kind of went away a little bit. We didn't really have the talent at linebacker. We had more defensive linemen and corners that were more talented. But he's definitely bringing it back. So, So that's where I see Brandon Smith falling to the Cowboys. But I think he would be a good pickup for the Cowboys to play kind of alongside Micah Parsons there. Things how they played together a couple years ago, so it'd be good for them.
So this is the DERF 3.0 first round mock draft and Cowboys third round draft pick mock draft. So you get 33 picks out of DERF.
33 picks out of DERF.
33 picks.
Alrighty.
Cool. This is like I was telling TJ. This is my draft analysis fest. It makes me look like an NFL pro, apparently, according to TJ. He said, also says happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I guess he agrees. Linebacker, you, Penn State.
Yep.
I was unaware.
It's okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. Number 25, the Buffalo Bills. Hasn't changed since the last time we did the mock draft. Still got him taking Andrew Booth out of Clemson at corner. I've seen a lot of push for Breece Hall out of Iowa State. I still think they just need to go corner in the first round and get that more blue chip talent at corner to work on the opposite of Tre'Davious White. And I think Booth a great option there. If it's not Booth, then I would say maybe Trent McDuffie out of Washington is another good pick for him.
But I'm not going to pretend like I know who that is.
But okay. I definitely think it's defense though, for sure. All right. 26, we got offensive tackle Tyler Smith. Tulsa going to the Tennessee Titans. Gotta get those blockers up back up front after they lost two to the Bills already this year. Gotta be able to block those guys out of Derrick Henry's way, or else he's gonna run you over. So they'll learn. But I think it's a good spot, good pickup here for the Titans.
Tulsa just sounds like a school that makes big boys.
Yeah.
Like Tulsa. Like you just say it and you're like, yeah. Yeah, some beefy boys are coming out of Tulsa.
Yeah. All right. 27, Tampa Bay. They're going to go defensive tackle with Devontae Wyatt out of Georgia. I think pairing him up next to Vita Vey, it would be a great option there, help him kind of help Wyatt get up to speed. Tampa kind of already pushed to get all their most of their offensive linemen back already. They could go offensive line here, but I see them kind of doing that maybe in the second and third round possibly. I think going defensive tackle here is the better option for them. So that's why I have Wyatt at 27. And 28 with Green Bay. So they went wide receiver at 22. They're going to go defensive back at 28 with Daxton Hill out of Michigan. Hill's had quite the influx of where he falls lately. But I think he's a more Packer option at 28 for them to work on that secondary. Let's see here. 29. We'll do 29 and 30 at once. They're both Kansas City. So 29, I have them the Chiefs taking Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. I think that's the same pick I had last time. As well as their 30th pick, I think it's the same with Boye Mefe out of Minnesota. So they're going to get a great receiver who has really good receiving hands, and they're going to get an edge rusher on that defensive line to help alleviate the pain that is Frank Clark's contract. So
painful.
I think yeah.
This is kind of where my other thing came in.
Yeah.
Like, so I had my Eagles take earlier. Mm-hmm. This is my other take, and it's not even my take. I took this from somebody else, but right. I didn't realize the Chiefs had this much draft capital. Mm-hmm. Chiefs had 12 picks. And they have two in each of the first four rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Two in the first, second, third, and fourth round. That's a lot of draft capital. That's like high quality draft value.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, do they need 12 rookies? In my opinion, honestly, they could probably use 12 rookies. They got to start like getting rid of some of this expensive talent like Frank Clark. And they got to start getting like a lot younger, and they need some serious depth at safety, like really bad. So do they need 12 rookies? Probably wouldn't hurt, but they have that much draft capital. I could easily see them trading up pretty darn far to maybe even steal a guy like Olave. Like you could turn your 29th into like something in the high, in the low teens.
Yep.
And by dumping off 30, both of your seconds, and then like next year's first or something, and you still have, like in this draft, you'd still have like 9 draft picks left over. And you get a really good early round wide receiver. They have the potential to get Dotson and they really like him, then sure, yeah, I guess they don't have to move anywhere. But to have 12 picks, you could move all over the board with 12 picks.
Right.
Especially with Edom in the first four rounds. That's crazy.
I think they need to keep him.
I think so too.
So I think they need to keep him because that's 12 rookies that you're gonna have potentially for 4, maybe 5 years tops.
Yeah.
Before like that's the amount of years it's gonna take when Patrick Mahomes' contract's gonna start eating at this team.
You need and those every, young boys on the roster.
They need the cheap talent.
Yeah.
So I think this is the year to beef up that cheap talent and see if they can make another push. But
so yeah. I just say look for them to trade up because they have that many draft picks. I wouldn't be shocked. But if I was in the GMC, I'd be like, yeah, let's just draft our 12 guys.
Right. All right. So 31 Cincinnati.
You changed it up.
I did change it up. They're going to go corner with Kair Elam out of Florida if he's still there, because I think he's the other option I have for New England right now at 21. because Bill Belichick likes his corners. But I think Cincinnati's done a pretty good job with what they've done in the offseason with their offensive linemen.
True.
And
very true.
I could see them taking another lineman in the second round and still getting good talent there. So I'm going to have them take a corner here at 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. I don't hate that. I mean, like you said, they added plenty of talent in the offseason. They can wait on another one.
Oh, yeah.
All right. But I don't think they can wait on the corner, man.
No.
You got burnt toast back there in the secondary. You need some help.
And then last but not least, Detroit at 32. Aiden Hutchinson fell to them at 2. And at 32, they're going to find someone to work on the other side of the line, and that is Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati, quarterback, to compete with Jared Goff. So, I like it.
I think your biggest potential shakeup of the draft would be the Lions taking Pickett at 2.
I haven't heard Pickett with him at the Lions. I've heard Malik Willis at 2.
Ew. Oh, God. That'd be Jesus.
Yeah.
That'd be very old Lions to do. Like, this is the new Lions, okay? We're not doing stupid shit. This is the new Lions, okay? We're not taking Malik Willis at 2. All right, Dan Campbell, put your fucking headphones on, bud. We're not taking Willis at 2, okay? Take Hutchinson and go home with your prize. But I'm just saying, yes, if they do take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I like, obviously, taking one at 32, like, yes, I agree. If Ritter's there, even if, you know, something crazy happens and Willis is still around, you know, any quarterback, I think that'd be smart to take him at 32.
Yeah, I think even if Ritter's not there at 32, if he somehow got, you know, they went on a quarterback run because someone took a quarterback at a weird spot. Matt Corral is another one out there from Ole Miss who would fit in that spot at 32 also.
Very Jared Goffy.
Yes.
Matt Corral. Plus, his name's Matt. And you know, Detroit loves their Mats.
That is
have
true.
Have you seen the Matthew Stafford AT&T commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's so
good. Didn't even have a reaction watching it. Like, the commercial came out. I was like, oh, it's Matt Stafford. And they started, they went through the whole thing. And I was just sitting there going, he had the balls like to still be in the league and make this commercial. I didn't even laugh right away. I laughed when the commercial was over, but I was just watching it in disbelief. Like, what a commercial. So if you haven't seen it yet, folks, pretty sure you just find it on YouTube, AT&T commercial, Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Oh God. So, I'll let you set the number because it's your mock draft.
All right.
So what's your over under on how many you think you're going to get right?
I am going to go with, I'm aiming for 7 this year.
So you want 7?
Yep.
So would you rather the line be set at 6.5 or 7.5?
6.5.
So over under set at 6.5. Durf's going to get right. Okay. And it starts Thursday. Maybe I'll even make Thursday a graphic. I'll take this and I'll post it up so people can pick it apart. Go. The official.
Sounds good to me.
The official DERFs super duper accurate mock draft 3.0. Hey, it's more accurate than mine because I don't have one. So
yeah,
I'm just going to say that yours is mine and we're going to call it a day. Right. I'm going to ride with Chris Sims just so, you know, my bad luck might rub off on Chris Sims and he'll get like literally all of them wrong. That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Kayvon Thibodeau, the Seattle at 13. Stupid. Stupid. Hmm. All right. I believe that's the show unless you have something more for these beautiful people.
I think that's it.
That's all I got. So appreciate everyone tuning in. Thank you, thanks for the birthday wishes. I'm
sure, yes, thank you all.
I'm sure Durf appreciates that. And yeah, all you beautiful people, stay tuned for next week's episode because We'll be back next week.
On and off the field.